right. We are back in Luke again, and I know it sounds rather funny, but we're only covering two verses, and I hope we finish today. It doesn't sound like a lot. I was sharing with Sean yesterday, there's only two verses, and they don't really fit before, with the passage before, where Jesus casts out a demon, and then he's accused of working for Beelzebub, Satan, if you will. And it doesn't really work going forward. So I thought I'd just take it by itself. And it honestly, it stands well on its own. Let's read the two verses. I put them at the top because I kind of indented and all it below. So they're just at the top, right underneath the title of the message there. Let's read these two verses out loud together, okay? Luke 11:27-28. And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you." But he said, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." All right, so we're just going to jump. Well, let me pray first and then we'll jump in. Lord, help us to study. Help us to pay attention. We live in a culture and a time when we are overstimulated by television, movies, media, the radio, and all of that. It's hard for us to pay attention, but help us to do that today. Help us to approach your word with the need to hear your word and to do it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's get started. I'm rather excited about two verses. It's pretty good when you get into it a little bit here. I call this, Jesus shares that the secret to God's blessing is no secret. Okay, that's kind of what Thomas put on the sign out there for this week. And the outline is boring. I'm just going to give you a heads up. It's just very, very simple, but there's some truths in here that are not boring, okay? So hang with me here. I mean, no kidding, these would fail. It's an outline, but it's not a very preachy outline. But hopefully the supplemental outlines that are after each verse will help that, okay? So number one, I call it the setting. The setting, verse 27, the first part, and I've broken them up on the left-hand side so you can see what I'm talking about here. And it happened as he spoke these things. Well, what are we talking about, these things? Well, Jesus had just masterfully undermined the argument that he was working for Beelzebub after he had cast out a demon. So it's right after this that he had... Last week, I think we presented, or 2 weeks ago, last week was Father's Day, 2 weeks ago, six logical arguments that he presents that there's no way I could be working for Beelzebub. Right? So after he had cast out a demon, some of them said, that's amazing, and other people said, no, he's working for Satan. And he goes, why would Satan cast out Satan? That makes no sense. And he goes through six logical arguments. That's the setting, just to help you, to put you where we're at here. Okay? And I write a summary statement. It's not in your notes, but hopefully it helps. But I wrote it out so it makes sense here. But it says this, Jesus had just cast out a demon and then masterfully refuted the accusation that he was working on behalf of Beelzebub, the prince of the demons, or Satan, if you will. He had argued with clear and brilliant logic which shut down his accuser. He had not only performed yet another miracle, but he also gave clear evidence of his messiahship. Okay? So that's what had happened. That's where we're at right now. Okay? The next part here, I call it the shouter. I said it's a horrible outline here. The shouter. It says here, and it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him. So I call that shouting. Right? Don't raise your voice at me. I'm not shouting.
Right.
You've heard all that before. Here's a statement that I wrote here. Here is a woman from the crowd that to some degree understood who was standing before them. performing miracles and teaching the truth of God. She is moved to speak to and about Jesus indirectly by blessing his mother, Mary, his earthly mother, Mary. That's the shouter. Okay, just to set you up for what she's going to say here now. The third point is the statement. What does she say? The statement. And you have the statement to the left here, but I also put it on the screen in the same format. Blessed or blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you. She was just overcome. She was amazed. She was excited about who Jesus is and what he was doing and what he was teaching. And so that's your two points there. I don't even think I put those in the statement here. So notice here, the womb and the breast, those are the two underlined words there in your notes. I didn't underline them here. By the way, this, even though they're just two verses, it was very difficult to translate this verse especially, because it's the strangest word order ever, especially about the previous part, the shouter. But you can see here the italicized words are all supplied by the translator through the word is. A lot of times Greek doesn't provide a verb, it implies a verb. And then the word the before breasts and the word you after the word nurse are all supplied by the translator there. But just an interesting passage. So let's talk now. What is she saying? Why is she saying this? And I call the womb that bore you, the birth bore you, I guess, here, and then the breast that fed you. What an amazing woman, an amazing opportunity that your mother had to bear you and raise you, to care for you. Your mom is truly blessed because she bore you and cared for you. Okay? What is she saying here? And it's like, I've never had anybody say that about me. You know, it's like, no one's really ever said that. You know, said, "Wow, your mom's really blessed to have had you." It's like, usually it was the other way around. It's like, "Man, your mommy really had a hard time, didn't she, with you?" Or something like that. Anyway, let's keep going here. I have reasons for the woman's statement here, and I actually list five. And these are actually very good statements, okay? So, number one here, reasons for the woman's statement. Number one, her statement acknowledged the identity of Jesus in a roundabout way. Okay? In a roundabout way, she was recognizing or acknowledging the identity of Jesus, understanding it. She believed he's the Messiah. Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you. Why? If I were to say in our vernacular, we don't use the term, we don't like the term as a Christian, but it's like how lucky your mother is. Though it's not luck, it's blessed. It's God was really had done something special for your mother by giving her you. You being the Messiah, right? So her statement acknowledged the identity of Jesus by the way she said it. Your mother is blessed for having born you and nursed you. Okay? It'll hopefully make a little more sense as we go. It expressed directly the blessing of Mary. Why was she blessed? Well, I ran out of time, but this is who she bore. Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." That's her son. Mary was blessed because of all the women in all of history, she only bore the Messiah. This one that had been foretold all the way back from Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. That one is who Mary bore. That's why she's blessed. She is highlighted as having received special attention and special treatment by God. That's probably a way to say blessed. Special attention and special treatment. Is that fair to say that? If you're blessed, God has paid attention to you in a special way and treated you in a special way. Mary certainly was treated in a special way. Nobody else before or since Mary has had that opportunity to bear the incarnate Son of God, the Son of God who came in the flesh, the presence of God in her womb and on her breast. One woman in all of history. So that's the blessing of Mary. There is no repeat of that blessing. She alone. Now, number three here, I call it, it fulfilled the prophecy of Elizabeth and Mary. Now, prophecy in the sense that I don't know that it was, prophecy as foretelling something, but just assuming it's obviously going to happen. Based upon the fact that Mary was bearing the Son of God in His flesh, right? The incarnate Son of God, the one that God had foretold throughout all of history. It's obvious that people will call you blessed over time. Look at three verses here. This is in the first chapter of Luke, all of these. The first two are Elizabeth talking. The third is Mary talking. And I wish I had time, but it would be nice to go back and read the whole statements of both Elizabeth and Mary, but we're not going to take the time today. Luke chapter 1, verse 42, Elizabeth says this, "Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed,'" underline that maybe, "'blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb.'" So there's two times Elizabeth says, "You are blessed among women, all women. You are the pinnacle of all women because of who is in your womb. And blessed will be you, that seed as well." Right? She keeps talking and comes back to it again. Says it in a slightly different way in Luke chapter 1 verse 45. "Blessed," and you might underline that again, "is she who believed." Believe what? What God had said to the angel, right? Said, "You will bear a son." And she said, "How will I bear a son when I know no man?" And said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon him." And she said, "May it be so." She believed what God said would come to pass. "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Said, yeah, all of the things that the angel told you, Mary, are going to come true. He shall be called the Son of the Highest, right? He'll rule on the throne of his father David. All of those things will come true. You are providing the path for all of that to happen. Now, Mary in her Magnificat, it's called, she spends, I think, a good portion of Luke chapter 1 talking, but she begins this way with these two verses, or three verses here actually. It's Luke chapter 1, verse 46, 47, and 48. "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed.'" She understood, not because she felt she deserved it. She clearly states that she needs a Savior and that she's a lowly handmaid of the Lord. Right? She's not highlighting herself at all. She's highlighting what God has chosen her to do. And she's glorifying God, not herself. But she said, because God has chosen this lowly handmaiden who needed God, the Savior, all generations will call me blessed. that God has paid attention to me and treated me in a special way. Right? That's what she says here. So this statement is the first time that we see in Scripture that someone has called Mary blessed, besides Elizabeth. Okay, it's the first instance of all generations calling Mary blessed. Okay, first instance of this. Okay, number four. I honestly believe as I looked at this, I said, you know what? I just finished, I mean, in Proverbs in my Bible reading, and I just read several of these passages, but honestly, the statement of the woman in a general sense illustrates the wisdom of Proverbs. The wisdom of Proverbs. And this, again, was highlighted this week because of my Bible reading. Proverbs 10, verse 11 says, "A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother." Okay? Now, it's stated in a negative sense for the mother, as Hebrewisms often do. But this woman is looking at Jesus and seeing a wise son that is not a grief to his mother. Fair? Jesus is a living example of the book of Proverbs as a son, a wise son that brings blessing to his parents by his what? Conduct. All right. Another verse that's in your notes here is Proverbs 23. It's actually two verses, verses 24 and 25. Again, look at closely. And by the way, this is stated several more times in Proverbs. I'm just giving you two examples. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. And then that's a statement. And then now it's like a command or an exhortation to the children. Let your father and your mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. What a challenge to children. Grow up and live in a way that your parents will rejoice. This gal that makes this statement about Jesus' mother is saying, you are blessed because your mom can rejoice. Because of how you've turned out, because of the choices you've made to honor God. Her statement illustrated the wisdom of Proverbs. And the last one here that I think would be unreasonable or unfair not to include is it highlighted, this woman's statement highlighted the privilege of motherhood throughout Scripture. It's the word motherhood. For some reason I didn't get it underlined for you. It highlighted the privilege of motherhood that you see throughout Scripture. God constantly lifts up the position of motherhood. And we talked about this on Mother's Day, where God highlighted the position of motherhood so high that He chose that process to bring the Savior into the world. There's no second best position in the world. Motherhood is that highly spoken of in Scripture. It highlighted the privilege of motherhood in general. So that brings out five reasons for the woman's statement here. Now let's flip your notes over. And we'll go back to our boring outline. Okay? Number four here, Jesus answers. Okay? But he said. He answered. Okay? By the way, the word he is emphatic here. He himself said. Here's the one who just had his mother acknowledged as being extremely blessed of God. And in a roundabout way, because of who you are and what you do and what you've done. So it's a double statement, just like we said, that your parents rejoice, And your conduct is exemplary to honor them and God. Okay? So now Jesus answers and says, and he himself, this is Jesus, who someone just said something really nice about his mom and indirectly about himself. So Jesus is making this statement himself. They've said something nice about your mom, and now look what he says to counter what they said. All right? And I don't use the word counter, I use the word adjust. And I don't start with the New King James Bible, I start with the Greek text. And there's this word that it's actually two Greek words. One is never translated. And the other one is the word therefore that you see translated all the time. And they smash them together. And most people, it's hard to know what it means. In fact, it has three separate possible meanings. It could be a complete contradiction. And most translations take it and translate it as a contradiction. But rather, or on the contrary, it'll translate it that way. The way that Jesus uses it here, by the context, is the third way it's usually translated. And it's rare, but it's this way. But he's not saying it to contradict what she says. He's adding to it. And I found an excellent translation that worked it just right. It's the New King James Version. It says here, more than that, he says. That's one word in the Greek. He says, more than that, let me adjust your thinking. Let me add to this, okay? That's what he's saying here. And how did I put it? I had it, I listed it like three or four different ways in my notes. Even more is one way you can translate it. Or more than that, or all the more. You think that's blessed? Let me add to your thinking. And again, we've already talked about the unique privilege and experience that Mary had that no other woman on the face of the earth throughout all time has had or will have. To bear the Messiah. Right? And then to raise this child, to feed him with her own breast, to raise this young man to adulthood, right? And he says, well, you think that's blessed? Let me tell you something. Right? And he's not lowering Mary and her blessing at all. He's not denying that it's there. He's not rejecting what the woman is saying. He's adding to it. He's saying, all that you've said is true, but let me tell you something. There's something even more blessed than being my mother as the Messiah's mother. Which is, again, amazing and unique in all of history. And then he goes on to say this. I call it Jesus instructs. Thus ends the boring outline, right? Jesus instructs. He says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Okay? So, these two verses just flip by when we read. We just read it and move on to some other things. We're talking about Beelzebub, and now we're talking about other stuff later on. It's like, we don't even ponder two verses. And it's even a little bit confusing, and then he moves on. But it's huge with regard to what she says about Mary, and then what Jesus responds. Jesus gives at least four lessons in his response. The first one, I didn't even think about until I read commentaries, okay? And I think it's as legitimate as the day is long. And I'm giving it to you first because that's not the primary emphasis of the passage. But I want to let you know, Jesus discourages any worship of Mary as a mediator or otherwise. I'm like, yeah, that's true. That, you know, that by what he's saying, he's saying that her privilege, though it is a privilege in a blessed spot among all of history, of all the women in all of history, And she is my earthly mother, and what a privilege it was for her. And I'm sure Jesus would say, in a sense, she was a very godly young lady to be raised by such a woman, right? But he said, that's not a big deal compared to what I'm about to tell you. Compared to what I'm about to tell you, there's more blessing and greater blessing to be had in a different way. The verse that I put in your notes here, just as a highlight, 1 Timothy 2:5 and 6, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Jesus is the mediator between God and men, and the only mediator between God and men. Now, some of you may or may not know that the Catholics believe, for example, that since Mary is Jesus' mother, then you can get special access to Jesus by going through Mary to get to Jesus. The Bible teaches nothing of that. Mary, just as we read in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 48, she acknowledged her need of a Savior. God, my Savior, she said, she's a lowly handmaid. She understood her need of the very Savior she would bear. Mary has no special access to God in any different way than you and I have access to God today as a saved sinner. Okay? So I wanted to bring that out. I thought it was legitimate and good to bring that out. But let me get back to the context here directly. Number two, Jesus elevates active obedience over relationship. Now, which word did I have you underline or fill in? What is it? Obedience. Okay, sorry. It should be obedience. That's what I have in my notes, but that's not what I have in my slide. So, who does these anyway? Anyway, I do. Jesus elevates active obedience over relationship. I think I changed the word three times. Over active and obedience. So I landed on the wrong one on the slide here. He says here, blessed are those. He's saying, oh, you think that's blessed? And it is. It's wonderful and it's amazing. And all the women of the world call Mary blessed. Throughout all generations, not just women, pronounce her blessed, and rightly so. But you want super blessing. You want blessing above and beyond that type of blessing that only came to one person. Obey. And by the way, the word is active obedience. Both of the words, hearing or hear and keep, are present tense. Blessed, God pays special attention to you and gives you special treatment if you are hearing the word and keeping the word. Present tense. It's an ongoing thing. A lot of Christians think, well, I'm saved, so I'll be blessed. There are some things that come positionally that you don't do anything for. And you can't add to them that they're there. But there's another whole area called sanctification where you obey, God blesses. And if it's not in this life, it's in the life to come, most certainly. He doesn't guarantee wealth, notoriety, or power, or anything in this life. But he says everything you do will be rewarded. Down to giving a glass of water to somebody. Right? You want to be blessed in a way that even would make Mary's blessing pale in comparison. It's nothing special. It's not secret, as we put out on the sign and in your title today. It's hearing, in an ongoing way, hearing the Word of God and keeping the Word of God. And you could be blessed more than if you were the mother of the incarnate Son of God. Isn't that profound? That's what Jesus says. active obedience over relationship. Jesus elevates an ongoing hearing and an ongoing keeping of the Word of God higher than even someone who throughout all generations people will recognize as being blessed. You'll be higher than that. You'll be considered blessed more than Mary for that reason. We understand that Mary would fit both categories, right? She's blessed because she's the one who bore and cared for the Son of God in His incarnate state, in His in-flesh state, but also she's one that heard and obeyed the Word of God, right? So she's actually more blessed because of her obedience than from being the mother of Jesus' humanity. Amazing. Jesus elevates active obedience over relationship. A lot of Christians, at least those that claim to be Christians, don't give Jesus the time of day. And He says, you know what's important? Hearing My Word in an ongoing basis and keeping My Word in an ongoing basis. That's what brings blessing, not, hey, I'm on the team. I wear the jersey, but I don't ever come to practice. Which the Bible would classify as disobedience, right? Okay, number three here. Third lesson in Jesus' instruction. Jesus highlights, I hope I underlined the right one here, access of blessing to every obedient believer. What? This is really cool. How many women will ever be the mother of the incarnate Son of God? Hold up. Yeah, a finger. One. How many more opportunities will there be to fill that position? Number one, no men could ever be that. So that wipes out half of humanity, right, already. But no woman before Mary and no woman after Mary. It's the opportunity once in all of history. What is so beautiful about what Jesus says is not only is it He elevates blessing be above what Mary experienced and the attention and treatment that God gave her, but He says it's available to everyone, male or female. Right? It says here, blessed are those who are hearing the Word of God and keeping it. Anyone can fit that category. You can be blessed more than Mary as compared to her being the mother of Jesus, the very Son of God. You can be blessed more than Mary by what? By doing what? Hearing the Word of God and keeping it. And you're like, you've got to be kidding me. A comparison, and I know it's a horrible comparison because we don't fit this category, but it's like somebody wins the lottery. And it's like, that's, you know, it's easier to get struck by lightning multiple times than win the lottery, right? Unless you cheat like the guy did from Iowa. Multiple times he won. But it's like someone coming up to you and say, oh man, no. That person won the lottery, but it's like, I've got something that makes you richer than that guy. And everyone who does this will be richer than him. That's kind of the illustration here. The lottery's like the few and the crazy. I have never lost a dollar in the lottery. I have excellent skill in that area. Anyone want to know why? I've never bought a lottery ticket, right? So I'm ahead of most people. But Jesus is saying that you can be blessed by hearing the Word of God, ongoing basis, hearing, and keeping the Word of God. Everyone can be that. Everyone can gain that. Everyone can be in that category of blessed. It's reachable by you. Mary didn't even choose to be the mom. She was approached. Jesus is saying, no, look, here it is. Just be hearing the word of God and keeping it. And there's nothing in me that thinks that he's saying perfectly. Right? It's walking with God, receiving input from God, I believe teaching and reading in an ongoing way, but then seeking to keep it. And it's like, really? That's the secret? The sign says something just like your title says, the secret to receiving God's blessing is not a secret. God has told us this all along. That's number four here. Jesus reviews clear teaching from the Old Testament. God has said this all along, right? This is not even new information. It shouldn't be like, wow, profound. It's like Jesus is basically restating the Old Testament. I give you two passages here, both of which you are very familiar with. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Ways to describe blessing would be prosperous or successful. Again, we're not talking about money necessarily, but in the eyes of God, you are prosperous and successful, doing eternally what matters, and eternally what will be rewarded. Joshua 1:8, and then Psalm chapter 1. You knew I would bring this up, right? This is probably my favorite passage in all the Old Testament. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. By the way, there's things you're not doing. You are abstaining from doing things. Bad things so that you can do the right things. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But, on the contrary, this man doesn't do these things, but on the contrary, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, uses the same word in Joshua 1:8, he meditates, same time frame, day and night. Not everyone, only the person that doesn't do these things in verse 1 and does this in verse 2. He, the one who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates in it day and night, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Right? It's reachable by you. It's reachable by me. God, Jesus restated in Luke chapter 11, verse 28, something that's been known all along in the Old Testament is that you are hearing the Word of God and you are keeping the Word of God. I got two more things to say, hopefully. Famous last words of a pastor, and 10 minutes later he's still talking, right? The word keep is the word for guard. So you're hearing, but it's not just passive remembering. Most people, and I don't know if it's true at Northridge, I think it's natural to do this, but most people just, if you can make me remember it, Pastor, give it your best shot. Otherwise, it's in one ear and out the other, and I walk out, and even if it was good, it's gone. What the word keep is that you are guarding the truth. You are taking action to hold on to what you're taught. You are guarding it. so that it doesn't drain out of your head and out of your heart. It's an active, aggressive response that says, now that I've heard it, I'm going to guard it so that I do not lose it. Here's the last thing I'm going to say, and it's a question. Will you choose to be blessed? Because Jesus clearly says you can be. More than Mary ever was by the position that she had of being the mother of the Son of God in His flesh. And she, all generations, will acknowledge that she's blessed. She's that blessed. And all women will hold her up as being the one who was blessed the most of all women. And Jesus says, more than that, you can be blessed more than that by hearing the Word of God and guarding the Word of God. Will you choose to be blessed? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for these two seemingly obscure verses in the middle of all of these other things. Help us, Lord, to understand that there's no quick fixes, but there's also no secret potions or secret handshakes or secret activities to be blessed by You. It's actually very clear, and You've made it clear all the way from the Old Testament onward, that we need to be hearing what You say in Your Word. And then we need to be holding on to it. We need to be guarding it so that we don't lose it. Lord, may we grasp and hold Your truth so that we may think about it, meditate on it, and ultimately live it out as You have appointed Your truth to do. Your goal is to change us to be like Jesus. Help each one of us to choose to be blessed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.